Yes, Lord, thank you for your glory, Lord, and giving us peace and freedom in this place by your Spirit. This morning is a call to consider God's glory. A call to examine him and look to him this morning as he has been revealed in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, as we'll cover today. A greater glory is coming is what we find in this scripture. And I want to start out with, suppose that I had a child come up on the stage, like 5 years old, right here. And this is a football example. A child come, and I had someone 6'10", you know, 320 come up here, and they were to face off in football, three-point stance. I'm no football coach, but I think I know who would win. So they get down their three-point stance, and they're ready to fire, and they're on the line, offensive, defensive line, and they're ready to fire it at each other. And this child is O-line, and they have to protect the quarterback, and they have to protect the developing play. And this huge guy, he's coming, he's blitzing, he's coming. Who do you think at the end of that game is going to have the greater might, the greater glory? Who do you think at the end of that season is going to have greater glory, something to brag about? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, the 6'10", 320 person. So as we consider, you know, man's glory, and that's just an example or an illusion of what, you know, our might and the glory that we dwell in compared to the might that the Lord, it's just a very poor example, but the might that the Lord and glory that the Lord dwells in, and how high he is, and how much better is this God who can shake all of the earth. Just a quick recap about last week. This three-week series is, last week was, as Chris said, consider ourselves. So let's examine ourselves, and to consider is, as we not just ponder and think like a Greek philosopher and sit there, but it comes to an end, that we consider where our hearts are really at during the week, that we realize that we need to take a course of action, and it weighs on us that we change and we take a course of action in a response to God and to where we're going. And it's God's plea. It wasn't just this coming down on you judgment, but it was God's plea to consider ourselves, to not just go back to paneling our houses when he's called these people in Haggai, his Israelites, to build the temple and to build the temple to the work that he's calling, that he's working throughout history. And it came down to, sorry, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've been focused on, this rat race, the material, worldly things, which are gifts from God, but when he's called us to a certain work or to a certain will or to something, and we get distracted in the rat race, like 2015 America, sorry, Lord, I'm sorry for where I've been focused daily and where I haven't seen your work and haven't been able to reach out to others because of what you're calling me to, the work that you have for me. And so another recap is that it's the second temple period, post-exilic, just a reminder that God's people were in captivity in Babylon, and now through Cyrus, they've had a decree, King Cyrus, a Gentile king, they've had a decree, and now they're able to finally able to rebuild the temple that they missed and that they longed for over in Babylon. But it's been 18 to 20 years, and they started it, but then they neglected the Lord's work that they were specifically called to and that they were excited for. And they slowly became to build their own houses and panels. So before we get into the scripture today, before I read it, it's Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. If you want to open to that, we'll pray. Haggai, it's at the end of the Old Testament. Go to Matthew and then go three books back to Haggai. So as you turn there, let us pray. Heavenly Father, today is a call to examine you of what you put on my heart and Chris and John's heart here today, is that you are with us and your glory is great and we can't imagine it, and you can shake the entire earth and the nations, God, and yet you bring us peace with your presence, God. Help us this week to take in this word this morning and glorify you, and help us this week to carry away, and let the weight of your glory press upon our hearts that we are changed and that we are praising you. Thank you so much for your peace and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a look. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst, fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures, the NIV says, this is ESV, says, so that the desires of all nations shall come in. And the silver, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So let's just take a moment to look at this, break it down a little bit, and then see what God has for us this morning and some application. So who is left among you this morning who saw this house in its former glory? So he's referring to the temple. So some of the older generation, they saw the temple before captivity, and now they realize it pales in comparison to Solomon's temple, and it's not as great, it's not as mighty, it's not as gorgeous as the former one. And God's having a rhetorical question here. Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Obviously, yes, it pales in comparison. Yet now, be strong. And we see the integrity of God in this scripture. We say, be strong. Even though it doesn't look like it's promising a greater glory or what it once was or the hope, you're discouraged, there's pessimism amongst you, be strong. He says it, be strong, be strong. And that's a command from God. It's an imperative format. And then God goes on to say, work. What's the reason for this work, should we consider? He says, work, for I am with you. Do the work that I have for you. Finish this temple. You've already started. Keep going. Work, for I am with you. And that's the key here. According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, again, my spirit remains in your midst. God says, my spirit remains in your midst. I've stirred you up to finish the temple building. Fear not. Carrying on. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And so we see a shift here. So all he was saying, he was referring to Israel, the remnant of Israel, saying, work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. According to the covenant I made with you, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. He's saying this to his people in the immediate context in that day. But we see a shift that there's no longer, after that point, my spirit remains in you, fear not. There's a shift that no longer explicitly refers to the remnant of Israel. And we sort of see this prophecy-like format. And so we see that he's going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. But who but God can shake the heaven and the sea and the dry land? And I will shake all nations so that the treasure, the desires of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter, here's our key verse today. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace. So, in the immediate, context, in the immediate fulfillment, God is stirring his people with his spirit to finish building the temple, the work that he has called them to preserve his covenant with the Israelites from Egypt and all the way through. So we see that they do indeed complete it, and they finish what God promised would come to pass. So that's the immediate fulfillment. And in the midst of it, we see that God is saying, it's about my presence. Yet now be strong, work, for I am with you. My presence is with you, fear not. It's not about the gold of the temple, the splendor that was once in Solomon's temple, in contrast, but it's always been about my presence. It's always been about my spirit with you, guiding you, working my purposes. Don't get caught up in the gold and the glamour of the temple, but focus on me. Finish my work. Delight in me. A little sidestep here about glory, about this word glory. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. The Hebrew word is kabod, and it's a rare form of glory, and it can figuratively mean pressing a weight down in a good sense. The Lord's glory, his splendor, his copiousness, his splendor, can figuratively mean it's pressing down on you as you meditate on it and as you see it. It's pressing down the weight. In glory, it's weighty. It's not something that's light and floating in the air. It's something that presses down on his people in a figurative sense as you consider it. And as an example, there's this word glory also shows up in Numbers 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. But it's reminiscent of this language here in Haggai. We see that the Israelites got out of Egypt. The Lord led him through his purposes, through his will. They were stuck in the clutches of Pharaoh. They could not escape. But the Lord led them out, and yet they began to complain. And when they spied out the land that God was promising them to Canaan, most of the spies came back and said, we can't do this. They're too big. They weren't trusting the Lord. They said, we'll die. This fruit is great. These giant grapes, this is great, but we can't do it. They weren't trusting the Lord. And when Caleb and Joshua and Moses stayed faithful to the Lord and they said, we can indeed do it, they wanted to stone them, the people of Israel. How quick their hearts changed. Then the congregation said to stone them with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. The Lord's glory, it's fascinating. It's the same word, kabod, there. The Lord's glory cut them off and saved them and led the faithful Moses and Joshua into safety, cut off the people's intentions to kill them. And further, we see another promise down in verse 21. Moses pleads to pardon them, but then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, Moses. He interceded and said, save these people. I know that they had hard hearts. They were stiff-necked, but show your glory by preserving them. Don't let the other nations mock what the works of your hand freeing them from Egypt. But truly, as I live and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and yet have put me to the test 10 times and have not obeyed my voice shall see the land that I swore to give their fathers. So there's some judgment there, but the focus is that, but truly, as I live, another glimpse of God's glory, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, the greatness of the Lord. So that was in the immediate context. God stirred them with his spirit. His presence was with them to finish building the work that they had, the temple that they had. And then today there's a fulfillment ultimately in Christ. The text says, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. You were worried about the temple, this earthly pattern. There's a pattern of Christ coming. Shall be greater. Christ is coming. He is greater. He will bring kingdoms to their knees. Kings, the Gentiles. If you read, the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former. And in this place I will give peace. And before he said, all nations. so that the treasures, the desires of all nations shall come in. The Jews and the Gentiles are coming together for his ultimate purpose, and they will come together before the divine sun coming down. This greater glory is coming, this cast of this vision that about 500 years later, Jesus was going to come into the earth and fulfill this pattern from this New Testament perspective of the Messiah, and was fulfilled there as well. And carry his glory all the way through the resurrection, all the way into sitting at the right hand of the Father, and all the way to the second coming into eternity. All glory will be his. A greater glory has come and is coming. So, in light of this, we see Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment and gives peace between nations and his believers, the Gentiles and the Jews. What's the problem? What's the problem today? I want to propose a problem that the problem is that we don't look to God's glory every day. We see it glimpses and we believe it, and I'm a part of this, that in every day, in every season, we're not considering God's glory. And many times you have had success. You are living it. You're reminiscing on his glory. You're praying. You're walking in his peace and his presence, and you're not afraid and you're not fearing. But many times, as this morning, maybe we're going through a season, or we've been gone through a week or a day that we haven't focused and reflected on the Lord's glory and let the Lord's glory press upon us. As we examined ourselves last week, I did through hearing it online, but as we examined ourselves, it came down to please and sorry, Lord. Please with me. Please spare me. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, for what I've made. I've made about me. I've made about the rat race. I've made about certain things, and I haven't just rested in your glory. Well, today, I think the proper application to considering God's glory, letting the glory of the temple, the glory of Jesus, the glory that he deserves press down upon us is a proper response is praise and thanks. If you're going to write anything down, write down praise and thanks. And praise is glorifying and magnifying something. So let us praise God, the glory that he deserves. So God's glory deserves praise. When you look at him, the God of the Bible, what he deserves praise. Also, his presence is with us. So as we sang, let us desire Jesus and just want more of him. He is the ultimate fulfillment, the greater glory to come. Let us desire the Lord Jesus and walk with him. And for our last application point here today is thanks. And thanks is a good feeling towards someone who has helped you. Think of a time where someone's helped you and you have a good disposition, a good feeling towards them, a kindness towards them. So perhaps we can thank the Lord that even though the Israelites were stiff-necked and they were dim, they were blind to the Lord's glory, and they wanted to stone Moses and the leaders who were saying, God is with us, we can do it. Maybe we've had patterns in our heart where we've been stiff-necked as well, coming out of Egypt. Maybe they're this week, maybe we've had thoughts and attitudes where we've been almost against God's grace. But God's grace allows us to see him in sight and keep us as well. Because of his grace, because he carried the Israelites through out of Egypt, he can carry us through. Another thing is, thank you, Lord, for caring. Thank you for caring about my well-being. You've given me, you've helped me have peace. You've helped me have freedom in you. Thank you. Thank you for caring about my well-being, Lord. A heart of praise and thanks. Another thing is, thank you, Lord, for putting the right words on friends and fellow believers and on family. Thank you, Lord, for when someone was praying, they just said just the right word because your spirit led them to say it. I have a perfect example of this week. I was visiting my grandmother. She had surgery at Doylestown Hospital, and I was preparing at a coffee shop for this sermon and studying. As I went out, I went back to my car to go back home, and I heard there was a family in front of me, and I heard the word church once or twice, and I said, okay, church, I don't know. Are they believers? Hopefully they are. If they're not, then hopefully they're not, because I can share God's word with them. And I said, did you say church? Are you followers of Jesus? And they said, yeah. And this guy had just come back from Australia, and he was in ministry, a lead pastor in Australia, and he had just come back, and we got talking about, yeah, praise the Lord that, you know, we met here, and we just get to reminisce and praise the Lord for his glory, and thank you. It's so cool to meet fellow believers. And then before we left, he wanted to pray for me. And he prayed for me, and at the end of the prayer, he was about to finish off when it was like he decided to say something more, like the Lord put something on his heart, and he said directly, he put his hand on me again, and he said, Lord, I know Colin is something positive, I don't remember, something good. And then he said, but he's anxious about the future. And he's worried. And I just pray that you give him peace right now. As a college graduate, I have some plans and some ideas, but there's been some anxiety and fear about what's next, not trusting God and not considering his glory so great that I don't have to worry about what's next, and knowing that he's with me through that pain and disappointment. But the Lord put just on his word the right words, the exact words that cut to my heart, and said, wow, Lord, this is an affirmation of you. I praise you. I thank you for your help. You're going to help me through this time of transition into what's next, Lord. And lastly today, before we close in prayer, as we consider the Lord's glory, let us remember him through times of disappointment in our lives. Maybe a romantic relationship didn't work out, didn't come to fruition like we hoped it would, or we're not with someone where we thought we would be. It didn't turn out as we planned. And during that process, we found ourselves distracted and so caught up with that, which is something God desires for us, but that is good for us, but something that we found ourselves caught up with and distracted from his glory each day. Or maybe a friend let you down. Maybe they didn't say the right words. They didn't come to help when you needed them. Or maybe a friend has even recently, in, I don't know, middle school, high school, maybe a friend has hurt you, has backstabbed you, has said something not so nice and hasn't been there for you. Or maybe, I think this is really, as followers of Christ, maybe someone in your family rejects you, or they don't understand, they think it's weird that you have this fervent faith in Christ and in God, and they just see it from an earthly perspective, and they don't see that the glory of Lord. Thank you, Lord, for carrying me through this and giving me the strength and courage to trust you and love you, even when I go to a family's house and they resent you, even when a friend lets me down, and even when something that I hoped for doesn't work out. At the end of the day, we see that he is our satisfaction, and the ultimate call is to let the glory of the Lord press down on us, that we respond as we consider it, as we think, what have you done through history, Lord, and what have you done in my life? How have you helped me, Lord? And what is an appropriate response and good disposition, a good feeling towards the Lord as you pray and seek him through prayers of praise and thanksgiving this week. So through prayers of praise and thanksgiving this week, let us consider the Lord's glory as he brings us into peace in his presence. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your peace and your faithfulness. It's about you, Lord. Thank you for even in our disappointments of life, we're not sure where we're going, we're disappointed with how something ended up, Lord. But yet we know that your glory stands forever, and this life is a vapor, and your glory does stand forever, and that is the truth, and your peace, you are walking with us, and you are amidst us, and just help us desire this week that we, by your Holy Spirit, that we as a congregation at Finland, and as lovers of Jesus at Finland, that we would desire you, and that hearts of praise and thanks would come forth from our hearts and from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.